Now, did you say 421 is not?
That's off.
That's off, too?
Yep.
Okay. And that one we've done here, Dan, so we have.
That's three left.
Everybody else have three left?
Yes.
Another cheat.
One more. Okay, so which one is up here, 405?
I have 405.
Okay, so case number 23-405. That's a Southington case.
That's a cheat. Oh, I didn't know that. Southington?
Yes.
Oh, didn't know that, I'm sorry. Good morning.
Before we begin, he was absent for the swearing in.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
More? You need to swear him in, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, do you solemnly swear or affirm, as the case may be, that the testimony you shall give here today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God, or of penalties of perjury?
I do, sir.
Thank you. Okay. You may proceed, please identify yourself, your agency, spell your last name, and your son for your witness.
Yep, John Marinholtz, Detective Sergeant representing the Southington Police Department, MARENHOLZ.
And your witnesses?
My name, sir, is Edward Apicella, APICELLA. And I'm currently an inspector with the Division of Criminal Justice in Connecticut.
Thank you. Okay, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Okay. You're not disqualified. We can proceed. All right, please go ahead.
All right, good morning. Yes, good morning, Phil. We're here today for an application denial based on a criminal background suitability issue that were discovered during the background investigation. We intend to show that although the applicant's criminal history has been subject to a pardon, his past criminal behavior calls into question his suitability to carry a firearm within the state of Connecticut.
So you understand, you know, the fact is you've been pardoned, that's fine, you're not disqualified. However, under the law, we still have the ability to look into the underlying facts concerning your suitability for this. So, just so there's no confusion here. You'd like to make an opening statement?
William Lawrence, for the record, William Lawrence Jr.
And you don't have to use your name, sir.
Oh, sorry.
That's up to you, just letting you know.
Okay. Everything that this gentleman is going to probably testify to, I don't deny it. What I do sit here in front of you guys hoping is that you take notice of the gentleman sitting in front of you now, not the gentleman I was 23 years ago. Is there things in my life I could have done better? Absolutely. Did I pay for my crimes? Absolutely. I sit in front of you a new man, a gentleman who has started criminal justice courses at Tokyo Post, doing very well in that. Gentleman who has been working, driving trucks for the last 6 years. A gentleman who has a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old who I'm trying to raise properly and show them exactly what adversity gets you when you don't fold. I do want to let the board know that I made one mistake, and that was not getting paperwork from everyone who has rooted me on to this position, to this point in my life. My wife, my older brother, father, stepmother, mother, and also the individuals that I work with. Right now, I work for a company.
Excuse me. You'll be able to present your case. It's just an opening.
Copy that, I'm sorry.
It's a good opening.
Hey, I'm not a lawyer, I'm just.
If that's a good thing. Speaking as a reformed one, okay. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Suitability. On September 25th, 2022, the applicant submitted, submitted a Connecticut pistol permit application to the Southington Police Department. As part of the application, the appellant provided his address as 3 Center Drive in Southington, Connecticut. The appellant also indicated that this is his only address for him for the past 7 years as of 9/25/2022. During the background process, a clear search provided addresses for the appellant of 70 Lakewood Road, apartment 3B Waterbury, and 391 Shaker Road in Enfield, Connecticut. 391 Shaker Road in Enfield, Connecticut is the Willard Correctional Institution. They collect DOC RT-45. Before I do proceed, I don't want to put anything on the record. He does have a pardon. However, the RT-45 search did provide information. I just want to clarify if that is okay to move forward with the record.
Yes.
Okay. Collect DOC RT-45 provided a hit for the appellant's name and date of birth with an inmate number. Within the DOC sentencing information file, four cases were listed. 714 of 97, we have violation of probation, illegal sale of narcotics. You have an illegal sale of narcotics in 98. Criminal attempt and assault first degree in 2003 and illegal sale of narcotics in 2015. A clear search of the appellant also listed criminal charges that essentially mirrored the DOC file. Clear provided a location of the violations as Waterbury Local Police. More significantly, Clear provided the original charge stemming from the 2003 sentencing date as attempted murder with a subcharge of assault first degree. The detective conducting the background investigation had a working relationship with several current and retired Waterbury police officers. The detective inquired about the applicant's name and possible history with the Waterbury Police Department, seeing that significant criminal history and attempted murder assault one degree charge. The detective found the appellant had no criminal history. However, the DOC file and the clear arrest information was brought to light. Based on the recollection of the Waterbury officer that he interviewed, it was an incident occurred in 2002 involving the appellant was discovered. Information provided by the background was the Waterbury Street Crimes Unit was attempting to make contact.
Is someone going to testify to that?
Right.
Okay, that's...
Yep. Yeah. I'll even skip to it. Okay. I'll introduce him now.
Thank you.
Yep. Inspector, would you please state your name? You already did.
Edward Ebersol.
Okay. Prior to your current position with the state of Connecticut, where were you employed?
At the Waterbury Police Department for 25 years.
Okay. And within your 25 years, what positions and assignments did you hold there?
I've held through the ranks of patrol officer, sergeant, lieutenant, captain, assistant deputy chief. I've worked patrol, vice and intelligence, major crimes, and administration.
Okay. And were you employed with the Waterbury Police Department in 2002?
I was.
Okay. Is it fair to say that in Waterbury, police officers do not get frequently shot at?
It's extremely rare.
Okay. And you would recall an incident where a Waterbury police officer was shot at?
I do.
Okay. And can you describe that incident that occurred?
Sure. I believe it was October 15th, 2002. I was assigned to a patrol unit area. The gang unit at the time was conducting narcotics enforcement in the adjacent area, I believe over in the area of 899 or 799 North Main Street, somewhere around there, North Main and Easton Avenue. At a certain point in time, that unit had radioed for help, so responding units responded. At that time, I was one of the units that had went there. Upon arrival, we checked, make sure everybody's okay. We inquired as to what had happened. The gang unit, particularly Officer Toronto, had explained that they were attempting to detain the appellant for what they believed were drug sales. At that point, the appellant had brandished a firearm and discharged it at Officer Toronto. They were able to recover the firearm after the appellant threw it, were able to recover a quantity of drugs from the appellant, and take him into custody.
Thank you. Nothing
further. Okay. You'd like to cross-examine the witness? You can ask him anything you'd like.
Yes, sure.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
We're close. I just wanted to ask you something. Were you on the scene when the supposed shot fired at the officer?
I was not, sir.
Okay. Do you have any knowledge of the gunshot residue test that was brought forth after?
I do not, sir.
Okay. Where's Officer Toronto right now?
He is not a police officer anymore, sir. He has a civilian job, I believe.
Is there a reason why he's not a police officer anymore?
That would be his decision, sir, to say. I do know at some point in time he was arrested, though, sir, and he was convicted of a felony charge.
Federal. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to make sure I knew this officer is, he was not truthful in the matter, totally. The gunshot residue test.
You can testify.
Can I speak?
Oh, you'll have your opportunity to test.
Copy that. Copy that. All right, that's all. Nothing further?
Okay.
That's all I'm saying?
Okay.
I would just contest respectfully, sir, that I would say he wasn't truthful in this matter, but he did have issues, sir, without a doubt, afterwards for his criminal charge.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Does the board have any questions as a witness? I guess not. Do you have any other witnesses?
No, sir.
Okay. Now you can tell us anything you want.
Once again, I would like to say I apologize to the board for not having paperwork, and I actually had it. I must say, I did get chased by the police that day. I did run because I had a firearm on me, and I tried to throw it. This is exactly what happened on that day. I got around a building, tried to run. There was nowhere for me to go. I turned around and threw the gun on the roof. It didn't make it. It discharged at the top. It dropped down, and where I was standing at was a back porch. They were not even in my sight. When I got apprehended, they brought me down. They asked me, you know, my questions and everything. Basically, what I told them was, I didn't shoot at that officer. You could do a gunshot residue test on me right now. They, without a lawyer, gave them my hands. They did a gunshot residue test on me just to show for an occasion like this. Was I wrong for having a gun? Not legal? Absolutely. Did I fire at a police officer? Absolutely not. Gunshot residue test came back negative. You need three components to fire a firearm. It'll show on your hand. I only had one. And it showed that I was jerking the slide mechanism at the time. I'm sorry that I didn't have the paperwork with me to show you. Found out this morning from a lawyer who was speaking to me about it, said that would have been great for you. Besides that, let me speak to this. I was raised to protect myself and those around me. Wasn't the best individual growing up, but I'm the best individual now. The individual sitting in front of you, I worked at a halfway house for a year, controlling a halfway house. I'm in school for criminal justice right now, Tokyo Post University. I work 60 hours a week, every week. I drive pallets from Bloomfield, Niagara, down to North Haven, 5 times a day. I'm on 91. I've seen tremendous accidents happen, people killed constantly. This is all I do every day. I started a business. Wasn't able to pick it up completely, but dissolved it so that next month I can start my cargo van business. I plan on just upgrading my CDL license to a hazmat and going into business for myself. I'm trying to teach not only my younger kids, but my older son, who followed in footsteps that I didn't really want him ever to follow in. I tried to actually curve and speak to him about things that he was doing and tried to get him to, you know, go get your license, get your gun license, do things proper. There's always ways to do it. I wasn't taught that, but I learned it. I'm trying to teach you that. He didn't listen, so now I have to deal with being there for him in his situation. I'm speaking all this to explain to you guys that it's not necessarily what I did back then, it's actually what I'm doing now. Who's sitting in front of you? I actually took criminal justice because I actually wanted to become a CO, and this is why I'm taking it. I don't see my body driving a truck for the rest of my life. I got back problems right now. But I just wanted to do something to change and to add on to where I did negative at. You understand where I'm coming from? Like I said, I'm not a lawyer. All I am is a young man, not too young, just turned 49 2 days ago. But I got sound judgment. I understand right from wrong. For example, I understand that the gentleman that you guys just sat and listened to, he was put in a predicament that, yeah, he could have made better choices, a lot of them. He could have stopped, let the guy get away from him and his family. In those moments, people go through things. They got to question, you know, how they look at life, what it is that they want out of life. Once you have that understanding, then you have individuals like yourself sitting in front of me, like this gentleman sitting next to me. You know where you're going. Your trajectory is beyond fathomable. I've accomplished a lot. I did my part in myself. I didn't have a lawyer to help me. I did all my paperwork myself. When they denied me for my firearm permit, I was upset at first, and my wife said to me, do you know what it shows? It shows that if you can stay out of trouble, even when you're doing right, things are not gonna go the way you want. But if you sit and just relax and go through it the proper channels, things can come out on the right side. So even if I wasn't granted my firearm permit today, I would appeal it. I would keep going. Do you know why? Because I don't know how to quit. I know what I did wrong, and I did wrong because that's all I knew. But I know what to do right now. And what's doing right is doing everything by the law. I pay my taxes. I take care of my family as best as I can. I don't get too much sleep because I work so many hours. But what I do know is I believe that any individual who went and got their pardon and want to go and obtain everything that the Constitution says you have a right to obtain should have to go through what they did for me. You denied me? Cool. I'll go through the process. I'll sit in front of you guys. You'll decide if I'm worthy. And if you feel I'm not worthy now, I'll see you guys again. If that's how it runs. I don't know if that's how it works, but if it is, you'll see me again. So,
we'll see.
You know? But that's basically what I have to say. I'm upset because the lawyer explained to me that if you would have brought all that paperwork just to show, would have been tremendous. And he also told me to let you guys know, if you would like me to mail paperwork to you about what I've spoken about today, about my boss giving praise to me. As a matter of fact, I'm the reason my company has a shuttle business now. They were just yard companies. Now I started the shuttle business for Niagara, and it grew. So now my company out of Dublin, Ohio, is running all over the United States doing shuttles, not just yard work. With that, I'll let it go. I just wanted to say thank you for even giving me this opportunity to sit here with you guys.
Thank you, and you're absolutely right. We do put a lot of weight in statements that we get from people who really know you and say in their statement that based on everything they know about you, you'd still be suitable and not dangerous if a permit were issued. Okay, but we can't take it now because yes. The record is closed on this. I have a few questions. So you say you never fired a shot at the police when you were charged? Okay. Did you plead guilty or not guilty at the trial?
What they had me under was attempted murder, and I pled guilty to criminal attempt to commit first-degree assault, which I shouldn't have pled out to. I'll tell you why. In order to have first-degree assault in the state of Connecticut, you have to harm somebody with an object, physically. Mm-hmm. No one was harmed. I didn't physically harm anyone with an object, but I took it because I know that basically when you do wrong, and you don't get caught for doing wrong, sooner or later, you're gonna get caught for something you didn't do, but you gotta pay your debt to society. There's things in my life that I probably got away with that I shouldn't have, and I sat myself down and said, you know what, I'm gonna take this as me getting a reset in life. Let's see what we can make from it.
Okay. All right. I thank you. Any questions?
They get to cross.
Oh, I'm sorry. Keep forgetting.
That's okay. Is it possible to cross my witness, or do I have to cross the appellant?
Oh, if you have follow-ups, you can either you can redirect based on that, or you can cross the appellant.
Pretty loosey-goosey. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Inspector Apicella, is it possible for GSR residue to not be detected on someone even though they have fired a firearm?
It is possible, yes.
Okay. Could you explain that at all?
Sure. So with the discharge of a firearm, there's blowback. There's a variety of biological factors, environmental factors that would play into that, how much the person sweats, you know, the amount of discharge, running, wind, you know, cold, warm. There's a variety of situations that could lend to the possibility of a GSR not being detected when somebody has discharged a firearm.
Okay. And, of course, if someone was wearing gloves or something like that and discharged them, that wouldn't show up either?
Correct.
Okay. Nothing further. Thank you.
Do you have anything for the appellant? Any questions for the appellant? For Cross?
Sure. About what age were you when this incident occurred?
I was 25, turning 26, I believe.
25, 26, and that was in 2002?
Or 26, turning 27. That was in 2002, okay. Going into 2003.
Okay. And based on your, do you remember what year probably your criminal, your interaction with the court system began?
I think it was in 1997 or It was somewhere around that.
Okay. You received the packet that was given to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it was 1994, I think, is when it began, according to the clear records, and then ending in 2015. You, when you were incarcerated, do you remember the time frame that you were incarcerated?
Yes, sir. I was incarcerated for 11 and a half years straight, from 2002 to 2014.
Okay. And in 2015, was there an additional charge on your?
Yes, sir. That goes to what I was speaking to the board about with my oldest child. My oldest child and me were coming from my mother's house. I was giving him a ride. Detectives, or I don't know what they call the units there, flashed me coming down by Fulton Park, and I pulled over. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to worry about, and I look over, and my son is like fidgeting. I'm like, "What's wrong with you?" And he says, "I got drugs on me." And I go, "What do you mean you have drugs?" He's like, "I got drugs in my bag." And I go, "All right, they're gonna search the car. I'm on parole. They're gonna find the drugs. You don't have a record. I'm going to jail anyway. Give me." And because I was a young man who left his son at 8 years old and was not able to raise him, at that moment I felt the best thing to do was not have him have a record if I could stop it. And I took the weight, and when they got me out the car and asked me who drugs it was, I told him to be quiet. I said, "Everything in the car is mine. He doesn't have a record. I do. You can place it on me." And that's what happened.
Okay.
Did it help? No. Would I do it again now? No, but at that time, that's what I knew. Okay. A dad being a dad, that was it.
Thank you, nothing further.
Questions by the board?
Can I ask the...
Yes, please.
Sir,
go ahead.
Can I ask you one question? The night that the incident happened, I did get arrested right on the scene as soon as the shot fired, right?
You were arrested at the scene, sir?
Yes, sir. Did they find any gloves?
I don't know that, sir.
Okay, just so that the board knows, there was no gloves found. Once again, and that's why I did the gunshot residue test, just to give something to show I didn't do what they think I did. I wasn't perfect, but that was something not in me. I just don't see that in me trying to harm an individual for no other reason. Just try to get away, and if you can't, you get caught. It is what it is, you know? But that's all I have to say about that.
I apologize for us being all over the last year.
Yes.
There's a reason why I'm also here. Okay, any other questions? Would you like to make the closing statement?
This was an application denial based
on... Actually, excuse me. Oh. He goes first. Oh, would you like to make the closing statement?
Yes. My closing statements, I want to first and foremost thank the board for even allowing me to come and pursue this. I want to thank the detective. I spoke to him about one or two times, and he treated me like a human, so I appreciate that. So many times in my life, I haven't been treated like a human. Thank you also, Detective.
Sir.
I hope I used the right terms. Right.
And he's always been good, sir.
In my closing arguments, I want to just tell you guys this. In the communities that I'm from, you're not taught proper gun etiquette, firearms etiquette. You're not taught that at 18, at 19, 20, you should be preparing to go hunting with family members. I'm not taught that when you have to move around in this world, you should move with your head up and you shouldn't be afraid to just look at people in the eyes. I had to learn that. I have a dad, but my dad, not to ever downplay him, but he had his ways. But what I do have is experience. I have experience. There's a gentleman who has a firearm LLC. And the only thing I can get from that is that he's doing well in life, and it's because I taught him about firearms when he was younger. And it's kind of weird because I had a love for firearms my whole life, but nobody ever taught me the proper way to go about it. I was asked, why would I want a firearm now? I really just want to go to the range. I want to enjoy working all week, getting myself up on a Saturday with my wife, who is a firearm license holder, my stepson, who's a firearm license holder, and go to the range with them, or even just get up and go to the range alone. Like, there's certain aspects of our life that you don't know about until somebody informs you of it. You know what I mean? I'm informed of it. Allow a gentleman to have all rights that was that I allowed to be taken from me. That's all I want. That's all I ever wanted. I want to be able to go and show people, you did time? You really want to change your life? I'll do your pardon for free. I want to help. It's not about you thinking because you did time that you don't have a chance to break free from that stigma of having a felony over your head. This is a gentleman that I know right now, and he runs the place that I used to work at, Open Heart in Hartford. And he's been free for over 18 years, and he doesn't have a pardon. And I looked at him and said, why? You've done tremendous in your life. Why don't you have a pardon so you can move forward? And he said, you want to help? And I said, yeah, I would love to. Because that only gives me an opportunity to show others we can do it. We really can. And I don't think I could ever be a police officer because of my background. But I swear, if I could have, I think I would have been a great one. And that's just the truth. And with that, I'll let it go. Thank you.
Thank you. Now you can do a closing statement.
Oh. This was an application now based on suitability issues that were discovered during the background investigation for a Connecticut permit to carry, conceal a firearm on your person, not a permit to purchase. It is asked that the board fight in favor of the issuing authority at this time, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Comments by the board?
I was always a big believer in risk management. I think we're of the same generation, so I'm sure you've heard of Gordon Graham and things like that. But and his one of his big things was the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. But there's a caveat to that. He had sort of like a 7-year rule. And the only, the last one was maybe 03. The incident in 2015, I don't know if that... is a positive or a negative. I appreciate what you did for your son very much as a father. Probably not their best decision, but you didn't know that at the time. Just to let you know, 49 is way too old to be a cop nowadays, so don't do that.
That's not true. That's age discrimination.
No, that's not age. That's being old. That's experience. That's being old. But I will say that I was very impressed with your presentation today. Attitude and things like that, so that will go a long way in my behavior. Just don't let Attorney Sherman hear about you're helping people with pardons and business, but I'm just kidding. Thank you for your concerns.
Any other comments?
When you read these cases, you never really get a clear picture of the scenario and things shape up, and it's always very interesting, so I appreciate what's just been put in front of us, and tough decision, but a lot different than I thought after reading it,
Anything?
Okay. Since you pointed to me, first off, thank you for putting the word out there that you do not need an attorney to seek a pardon. No, I'm serious. To me, it's predatory to have attorneys insinuate that you do, because you do not. Your work on yourself is completely admirable.
You had
your chin down, chin up, my friend. You should be proud of where you've been and where you are now.
Thank you.
And if you're not, I certainly am.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, just a quick comment from me. On paper, it would obviously be hard for me to say, well, somebody who's been convicted of attempted murder should have a pistol permit, especially if he's taken a shot at the police, which
Absolutely.
Is what you get from reading the file. But I agree completely. You've made an excellent presentation. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm right, I should say. I don't have any qualms about your continuing to receive a pistol permit. I think your attitude is exemplary. I think, you've had some hard knocks and you've learned from them, and you aren't the same person you were.
Thank you.
So, very good presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Any other comments? Okay, so we'll go to a vote here. Okay, so let's see here. Ms. Johnson.
You make this easy. Appellant.
Okay, Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Colonel Overturf.
Appellant, sir.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Dr. Conrad. Chair votes for appellant. Thank you, you got it.
Thank you for taking the time, Inspector.
Yep.
You did a great job.
Can I also tell you that he called me and asked me about...
You're Miss Nancy?
I am. Nice to meet you. Good job.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you, guys, and I would like also to let you guys know I am going to start an Instagram page to a every day, and I would hope that you guys would follow it just to see the strides that I'm taking to try to help the community. That's all I want to do.
Thank you.
Send me an email with that information.
Yeah,
I will, Miss Nancy.
We'll look for you.
I will.
Miss Nancy, you don't need to follow my page, Miss Nancy. I'm kidding. Off the record.
I come up with...